Thank you. about your own.
Oh, it's for about your own, go ahead.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Had a good week?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Didn't get drunk?
Nah.
Anything silly like that?
Nah, I don't do that anymore.
Nah, I don't do that.
Was there something in the key?
Shabbat Shalom, everybody. Welcome to Beit Gan Eden, and if you'd like to stand, we can sing, and also welcome to our friends online. Bless you all. Good to see you.
Shabbat Shalom, Shabbat Shalom, Shabbat 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 Shalom.
Come on, I will not, the door of time.
Ma Adonai, Hoshieni Elohai, Ladonai HaYeshua, Alamcha Mirkatecha. Arise and rescue me from you alone.
God, we delight to be in your presence. Lord, we delight to be where you are.
Adonai Elohecha, the whole of our heart, Uvechol Mekodecha, Ve'ahavta et Adonai Elohecha, the whole of our heart, Uvechol Nafshecha. And you shall love the Lord your God with all of your heart and with all of your soul and with all your mind, and you shall love the Lord your God with all of your heart, with all of your soul, with all of your mind, with all of your strength. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. And upon these two commandments stands the whole law. Love your neighbor, love your God.
Is one, and there is one mediator between Yehovah and humanity, Yeshua the Messiah, himself human, who gave himself as a ransom on behalf of us all, thus providing testimony for Yehovah's purpose at just the right time. So let's declare our unity in him by singing the Shema.
Shema Yisrael, Yehovah Eloheinu, Yehovah Echad, Baruch Shem.
Blessed be his name. His glorious kingdom is forever and ever. Amen. Ve'ahavta et Yehovah Elohecha, b'kol levavcha v'kol nafshecha v'kol me'odecha.
And you shall love Yehovah your Elohim with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your might.
And Yeshua said,
love your neighbor as yourself. All the Torah and the prophets are dependent on these two mitzvot.
Yeshua HaMashiach, who Adonai.
Yeshua the Messiah, he is Lord.
Amen. Amen. Please be seated. Well, welcome everyone. It's great to see you. And I know some people coming from Brisbane had a hard time today. Trains were down. So they had to get buses. But they finally arrived, praise Yah. And those travelling from, people have come from a long way here today, and I'm really pleased that you've made it on time. It's a long trip, and you never know what's going to be on the roads, especially the first week of the school holidays. And it can be, everyone going out on holidays today, leaving for their holidays, it can be quite treacherous. So we've got some gaps down the front here today, so most of our children are gone or away. But it's great to see those that are here. I'd like to make a special welcome to Peter and Maren, who've travelled all the way from Orange and will be with us for possibly a couple of weeks before they return. So welcome to the service. We hope you enjoy it. And we look forward to being able to have some schmooze time with you later on. I'd like to welcome all those watching live stream. And I'm going to be doing something different today. I'm going to go to the CTOMC chat room first. To Rab Avner and Leah, welcome to you. And I believe that you've got Rucky in Nebraska, Izzy in Halifax, Nova Scotia, Keturah in Florida, John in Florida, Christy in New Mexico, Judy in Arizona. So special blessings to all of you that are listening through the CTOMC chat room in Canada. Also to those watching live stream through the Beit Gan Eden live stream website. We've got Clayton in Texas, Ellie Shaver in Trinidad, West Indies, Daniela, Joshua and Ariella in Perth. Adam gets back from, he's a submariner and gets back on Monday. To Annette, Diana, Michael and Zara, Jan, Sandy, Marlene, Brian, Rabbi Dugami, Christine, Betty, Mike, Warren, Ruth, John, Marion and Stephen all in Adelaide in Annette's little unit. Hi to Cindy in the Blue Mountains, to Frankie in New South Wales, to Sue in Maxville and David in Nambucca Heads. Hi to Gail and Jessica in Ipswich and to Lynn in Laidley. To Glenn, Alex, Sharissa, Genesis, Israel, Peter and Wendy, Jack, Laura and the girls, Fabian, Wendy and Zoe all in Brisbane. And also to Marianne and Michelle, who are here on the Gold Coast and can't make it on Shabbat. So welcome to all of you watching live stream, and we pray that you enjoy the service and look forward to hopefully seeing some of you soon. Well, we don't have many children here today, but what children we have, we'll ask you to come out now, even though some are just arriving. So come on through. Is Leah here? Don't you look beautiful? Only one. Go on, Leah. Here they come. Her niece is nearly as tall as she is. Her niece is nearly as tall as she is.
Yes.
Okay, let's pray for our children. Oh, Abba Father, we just thank you and praise you for our children. And we pray, Abba Father, that you'll make the boys like Ephraim and Manasseh, that you'll give them the dew from heaven, the richness of this earth, and everything they need in abundance. And we lift up the girls to you, Abba, and pray that you'll make them like Sarah, Rivka, Raquel, and Leah, that they'll be blessed in every area of their life, that they'll delight on your Torah and meditate on it day and night. Abba, we pray that each and every one of these children become like trees planted by streams, that they'll bear their fruit in its season, their leaves will never wither, and everything they do will lead to success. Heavenly Abba, preserve these children for their fathers and their mothers. May they be led into a life of obedience and faith through the Kedavah HaShalakim. Blessed are you, Yad of Abraham, Yitzhak, and Yaakov, who watches over these precious children of your servants. We ask it in Yeshua's name. Amen. Bless you, children. I think Minister Mark's got something awesome for you today. Or is it Minister Davina? It's Mark. Okay. I have one box of Hanukkah candles at the back there if anyone needs them. You need to get them now or as soon as you can because that's all I've got left. I've got one box, so and it's too late to get any more from Israel at this stage. Well, as you I'm sure that Israel has got new elections coming up, and some interesting things have happened in this past week, especially in relation to the elections, because the elections were called purely and simply because there was problems within the coalition. In Israel, no one, not one party like we in Australia, one party can gain leadership. They've always got to be a coalition of lots of different parties, whether it's right-wing parties or left-wing parties or centre-left or centre-right. They all have to be a coalition. And so they are having early elections at this stage. And a lot of them, people believe it was called because of there were problems within the actual parties that were a coalition that was running it at the moment. But they all seem to want to put Bibi Netanyahu down. But I think Bibi's called his own coup here when an Arab prince denounces Islamism, which is very interesting because after... I want you to read through that. It's very important piece of information for you. But also, a Pakistani opinion is that Israel is going to be the next superpower and it can't happen unless Bibi's in. And that is a very long article, and it's actually working to Bibi with the prince denouncing Islamism and the Pakistani opinion. People that are usually against Israel have put the Likud faction with Bibi Netanyahu's Bibi Netanyahu's bloc is voting with, and he's head of Likud, will put them in an amazing position. So Netanyahu himself has taken understandings with Egyptian, Saudi, and United Arab Emirate rulers. And he's done an amazing job in this, which has been kept under wraps for quite a while. So that's another long article that you should read. The fact that Bibi Netanyahu has behind the scenes been setting up an alliance with Arab leaders is absolutely amazing, because the Islamic policy and the policy of Iran and ISIS, Gaza, Hamas, and Hamas in Gaza is ISIS, and ISIS is Hamas. They are one and the same thing these days. Their aim is to get rid of Israel altogether and have one state, a Palestinian state. But with what Bibi Netanyahu has done behind the scenes, with his alliance with the Egyptian, Saudi and United Arab Emirates, he's more likely to succeed in never allowing that Palestinian state to be formed. Because once a Palestinian state and is recognised in the United Nations, that opens the door for Hamas and ISIS, which is also in alliance with the West Bank, or PA, the Palestinian Authority, to become one, because that's what they'll be forming. They'll be forming one group. And that leaves like a three-mile gap between the West Bank and the Mediterranean Sea, which is nothing when it comes to firing rockets and firing things. So their aim is then to be declared a state and then to absolutely annihilate Israel and to have them wiped off the map. With this alliance that Bibi Netanyahu has formed, will help stop that, because he has got Arab Emirates and those people on his side. We don't need a 23rd Arab state. We need one Israeli state. That's all that they ask, which they were granted in 1947. And they've been working ever since at pulling that down. So that's what is virtually in here. And what I've got out of them since then is a Palestinian Arab terrorist yesterday hurled acid on a family of Israeli Jews south of Bethlehem. The attack occurred adjacent to the Palestinian Arab town of Husan, as the family was stopped at a local junction, just a road junction. The assailant hurled an acid substance through an open window of their vehicle. The father, mother and three of their children aged 8 to 10 years were lightly injured in the attack. The terrorist then fled the scene but was shot and seriously wounded a short distance away by an armed Israeli civilian, not even an army man. A screwdriver was found on the terrorist, indicating that he'd actually intended to stop the vehicle and then stab them. In other violence, a Palestinian rammed his car into an Israeli checkpoint near the Sumerian town of Shomron town of Nablus, which you know in the scriptures as Shechem, but no one was injured except the driver, because Israel is now putting up barriers between the road and the checkpoints. Israel has, because the transport is so sparse in time, in the getting from Judea and Samaria into Israel and the capital, they have a lot of pickup stations or hitchhiking stations, which hitchhiking is illegal in Australia, but over there it's quite legal, and it's easier for them to young people, most people get around by hitchhiking. And when they stand at hitchhiking stations, especially the soldiers on their way to work every morning, these people ram their cars into them, and they attacked and killed a couple of soldiers in the last couple of weeks by ramming their cars into one of these. Well, this week, because of the new barriers that are going up everywhere in Samaria and Yehuda, only the person ramming his car was hurt. So we need to keep these people in our prayers, especially with what ISIS and Hamas are trying to do, and of course Mahmoud Abbas trying to form a Palestinian state with the United Nations, and he keeps pushing for that. So let us pray for Israel. Abba Father, we thank you and praise you that we can call on you as our Yehovah Tzevaot, the Lord Yah of hosts. And as believers in Yeshua HaMashiach, we lift up our Hebrew brothers and sisters to you this day. No matter where they might be in the diaspora or Eretz Israel, we know that you faithfully preserved them through so many tribulations. whether it was from captivity in Egypt or Babylon, or through the attempted annihilation of the Romans and the Holocaust, as well as the endless wars your people have suffered since they've returned to your promised land. But Abba, whenever your people have called on your name, you have delivered them. Although they are weary from the violence that's been perpetrated on many families, even this week, and in the villages, and through terrorist attacks in Yehuda and Shomron. Abba, we ask that you remember your covenant with your chosen people, especially with this family that have suffered from last night. Abba, we know that they're still in pain and they're still suffering from the acid that's been thrown on them. But we pray for their complete healing. And we pray, Abba, Father, that your hand was on them and that you protected them. We also thank you, Abba, Father, that those two soldiers that were waiting at the junction were not hurt in any way when that attack came at them at full speed. Because we know, Abba, Father, from your word, that in Ezekiel it says that your people will live in the land which you have promised your servant Yaakov, that they'll live there in complete security and safety. And we claim that for them today. Abba, we lift up to you all the people on the borders of Gaza, on the borders of all the areas that are surrounding Israel, whether they're Gaza, Egypt, Lebanon, Syria, on the Golan and Yehuda and Shomron. We pray, Abba, Father, that you'll protect every one of these people. And as your word says, that you will execute judgment against their contemptuous neighbours. And we pray for that to happen. We also pray, Abba, Father, for the salvation of our Hebrew brothers and sisters, no matter where in the world they might be living. Because your word says that you want none to perish. And we know from your word that you take no pleasure in the wicked person dying, but have pleasure in them turning from their wicked ways, humbling themselves, repenting of their sins, and making that 180-degree turn towards you and obedience to your Torah. And we claim that for them today. Abba, we ask that you'll send your Ruach HaKodesh to have an encounter with them, as this is the only way you can heal them and bring peace to your promised land. Abba, we know that it is your plan for all of your promised land, from the Euphrates River to the Vadi of Egypt, to be restored. Your word says your people will live in the land you gave their ancestors, that you will be their Elohim and they will be your people, and we claim that for them today. We also ask you'll abide by your promise to summon the grain in its season and increase it. You've also promised to multiply the yield of the fruit trees, that your people will never again suffer the reproach of the nations. Abba, we thank you and praise you for the rainfall that has been happening this winter in Israel. But Abba, Father, the people are actually crying out for a colder winter at the moment, because it's not neither too hot nor too cold, and they are suffering from colds and flu because the bugs aren't being killed. Abba, we know that your hand is on your people, but we pull down the strongholds of the enemy over your land. We break the power of Hamas, Fatah, Hezbollah, the Muslim Brotherhood, as well as Al-Qaeda and Islamic State operatives that are trying to wipe Israel off the map at this very moment. We thank you and praise you for the IDF and the reservists and their families, and we lift each and every one of them up to you today. We thank you for the medical teams that are doing an incredible job, especially in the Golan and with the Syrian people. And Abba, we lift up all the members of the Knesset to you, and we thank you for the leadership of Bibi Netanyahu. And we pray, Abba, Father, that you'll strengthen him as he closes his parliament down now until the elections begin. Abba, we pull down the strongholds of the Arab members who prefer to work with Hamas or Fatah with an agenda that is outside of your plan. And we pray that none of their plans come to fruition. We thank you for Yaakov Damkani and Eli Shaver and the Ministry of Trumpets of Salvation. And Abba, we thank you that they spread your word of hope to the people of Israel and to the soldiers and to the IDF bases. And we pray, Abba, Father, for many to come into your kingdom as Torah observant believers in Yeshua HaMashiach. We thank you and praise you for the Makor HaTikvah Messianic Day School in Yerushalayim. We lift up Cookie Shwabe Eisen and her staff, and we pray, Abba Father, that the work they are doing with those children will continue. We thank you for the faith of each and every staff member and student, and we thank you, Abba Father, for answered prayer, for all of their needs will be met. And we ask this all in the name of Yeshua HaMashiach, our Adonai and our Saviour, who is the light of the world. Amen. Today we're reading the Torah portion is Parashat 9, Vayeshev, which means he continued. And it's reading from Bereshit or Genesis 37:1 to 40:23. The Haftarah we're reading from the prophet Amos, or Amos as some of you would know it, in chapter 2 to verse 6 to verse 38. And the Ketuvah HaShalakim, the writing of the apostles, will be reading from Acts chapter 7, verses 9 to 19. So let us pray. Baruch atah Yehovah Elohim Melech HaOlam, Aher b'ka banu mikal ha'amin, v'natan lanu et torato. Baruch atah Yehovah naten ha'torah, b'shem Yeshua Mashikenu ha'ola olam. Amen. Blessed are you, Yehovah, our Elohim, King of the Universe, who has chosen us from all people and given us the Torah. Blessed are you, Yehovah, giver of the Torah, in the name of Yeshua, the light of the world. Amen.
Parashah 9, Vayeshev, he continued. Bereshit 37:1 to 40:23. Yaakov continued living in the land where his father had lived as a foreigner, the land of Canaan. Here is the history of Yaakov. When Yosef was 17 years old, he used to pasture the flock with his brothers, even though he was still a boy. Once, when he was with the sons of Bilhah and the sons of Zilpah, his father's wives, he brought a bad report about them to their father. Now Israel loved Yosef the most of all his children, because he was the son of his old age, and he made him a long-sleeved robe. When his brothers saw that their father loved him more than all his brothers, they began to hate him, and reached the point where they couldn't even talk with him in a civil manner. Yosef had a dream, which he told his brothers, and that made them hate him all the more. He said to them, "Listen, while I tell you about this dream of mine. We were tying up bundles of wheat in the field, when suddenly my bundle got up by itself and stood upright. Then your bundles came, gathered around mine, and prostrated themselves before it." His brothers retorted, "Yes, you will certainly be our king. You'll do a great job of bossing us around." And they hated him still more for his dreams and for what he said. He had another dream which he told his brothers. "Here I had another dream, and there were the sun, the moon, and 11 stars prostrating themselves before me." He told his father too, as well as his brothers, but his father rebuked him. What is this dream you have had? Do you really expect me, your mother, and your brothers to come and prostrate ourselves before you on the ground?" His brothers were jealous of him, but his father kept the matter in mind.
After this, when his brothers had gone to pasture their father's sheep in Shechem, Israel asked Yosef, "Aren't your brothers pasturing the sheep in Shechem? Come, I will send you to them." He answered, "Here I am." He said to him, "Go now, see whether things are going well with your brothers and with the sheep, and bring word back and bring words back to me. So he sent him away from Hebron Valley, and he went to Shechem, where a man found him wandering around in the countryside. The man asked him, "What are you looking for?" "I'm looking for my brothers," he answered. "Tell me, please, where are they pasturing the sheep?" The man said, "They've left here because I heard them say, 'Let's go to Dothan.'" Yosef went after his brothers and found them in Dothan. They spotted him in the distance, and before he had arrived where they were, they had already plotted to kill him. They said to each other, "Look, the dreamer is coming. So come now, let's kill him and throw him into one of these water cisterns here. Then we'll say some wild animal devoured him. We'll see then what becomes of his dreams." But when Reuben heard this, he saved him from being destroyed by them. He said, "We shouldn't take his life. Don't shed blood," Reuben added. "Throw him into the cistern here in the wilds, but don't lay hands on him yourselves. He intended to rescue him from them later and restore him to his father."
So it was that when Yosef arrived to be with his brothers, they stripped off his robe, the long-sleeved robe he was wearing, and took him and threw him into the cistern. The cistern was empty, without any water in it. Then they sat down to eat their meal, but as they looked up, they saw in front of them a caravan of Ishmaelim coming from Gilead, their camels loaded with aromatic gum, healing resin, and opium. On their way down to Egypt, Yehuda said to his brothers, "What advantage is it to us if we kill our brother and cover up his blood? Come, let's sell him to the Ishmaelim instead of putting him to death and with our own hands. After all, he is our brother, our own flesh." His brothers paid attention to him. So when the Midianim merchants passed by, they drew and lifted Yosef up out of the cistern and told him for half a pound of silver shekels to Ishmaelim, who took Yosef on to Egypt. Reuben returned to the cistern, and upon seeing that Yosef wasn't in it, tore his clothes in mourning. He returned to his brothers and said, "The boy isn't there. Where can I go now?" They took Yosef's robe, killed a male goat, and dipped the robe in the blood. Then they sent the long-sleeved robe and brought it to their father, saying, "We found this. Do you know if it's your son's robe or not?" He recognized it and cried, "It's my son's robe. Some wild animal has torn Yosef in pieces and eaten him." Yaakov tore his clothes and, putting sackcloth around his waist, mourned his son for many days. Though all his sons and daughters tried to comfort him, he refused all consolation, saying, "No, I will go down to the grave to my son mourning." And his father wept for him. In Egypt, and Midianim sold Yosef to Potiphar, one of the Pharaoh's officials, a captain of the guard.
It was at this time that Yehuda went off from his brothers and settled near a man named Hirah, who was an Adullami. There Yehuda saw one of the daughters of a certain Canaanite whose name was Shuah, and he took her and slept with her. She conceived and had a son, whom he named Er. She conceived again and had a son, and she called him Anan. Then she conceived yet again and had a son, whom she called Shelah. He was in Ziv when she gave birth to him. Yehuda took a wife for Er, his firstborn, and her name was Tamar. But Er, Yehuda's firstborn, was evil from Yehovah's perspective, so Yehovah killed him. Yehuda said to Anan, "Go and sleep with your brother's wife. Perform the duty of a husband's brother to her and preserve your brother's line of descent. However, Anan knew that the child would not count as his. So whenever he had intercourse with his brother's wife, he spilled the semen on the ground so as not to give his brother's offspring. What he did was evil from Yehovah's perspective, so he killed him too. Then Yehuda said to Tamar, his daughter-in-law, "Stay a widow in your father's house until my son Shelah grows up." For he thought, "I don't want him to die too, like his brothers." So Tamar went and lived at home with her father. In due time, Shua's daughter, the wife of Yehuda, died. After Yehuda had been comforted, he went up to be with his sheep shearing in Timnah, he and his friend Hira, the Adullami. Tamar was told, "Your father-in-law has gone up to Timnah to shear his sheep." So she took off her widow's clothes, completely covered her face with her veil, and sat at the entrance to Enaim, which is on the way to Timnah. For she saw that Shelah had grown up, but she still was not been given to him as his wife. When Yehuda saw her, he thought she was a prostitute because she had covered her face. So he went over to her where she was sitting and said, not realizing that she was his daughter-in-law, "Come, let me sleep with you." She answered, "What will you pay to sleep with me?" He said, "I will send you a kid from the flock of goats." She said, "Will you also give me something as a guarantee until you send it?" He answered, "What should I give you as a guarantee?" She said, "Your seal with its cord and the staff you are carrying in your hand." So he gave them to her, then went and slept with her, and she conceived by him. She got up and went away, took off her veil and put off her widow's clothes. Yehuda sent the kid with his friend the Adullami to receive the guarantee items back from the woman, but he could not find her. He asked the people near where she had been. "Where is a prostitute who was on the road at Enaim?" But they answered, "There hasn't been any prostitute here." So he returned to Yehuda and said, "I could not find her." Also the people there said, "There hasn't been any prostitute here." Yehuda said, "All right, let her keep the things so that we will not be publicly shamed. I sent the kid, but you did not find her." About 3 months later, Yehuda was told, "Tamar, your daughter-in-law, has been acting like a whore. Moreover, she is pregnant as a result of her prostitution." Yehuda said, "Bring her out and let her be burned alive." When she was brought out, she sent his message to her father-in-law, "I am pregnant by the man to whom these things belong. Determine, I beg you, whose these are, the signet, the cords, the staff." Then Yehuda acknowledged owing them. He said, "She is more righteous than I, because I did not let her become the wife of my son Shelah," and he never slept with her again. When she went into labor, it became evident that she was going to have twins. As she was in labor, one of them put out his hand, and the midwife took his hand and tied a scarlet thread on it, saying, "This one came out first." But then he withdrew his hand, and his brother came out. So she said, "How did you manage to break out first?" Therefore, he was named Peretz, breaking out. Then out came his brother with scarlet thread on his hand, and he was given the name Zerah, scarlet.
Yosef was brought down to Egypt, and Potiphar, an officer of Pharaoh and captain of the guard, an Egyptian, brought him from the Yishmaelim who had brought him there. Yehovah was with Yosef, and he became wealthy while he was in the household of his master, the Egyptian. His master saw how Yehovah was with him, that Yehovah prospered everything he did. Yosef pleased him as he served him, and his master appointed him manager of his household. He entrusted all his possessions to Yosef. From the time he appointed him manager of his household and all his possessions, Yehovah blessed the Egyptian's household for Yosef's sake. Yehovah's blessing was on all he owned, whether in the house or in the field. So he left all his possessions in Yosef's care, and because he had him, he paid no attention to his affairs, except for the food he ate. Now Yosef was well built and handsome as well.
In time, the day came when his master's wife took a look at Yosef and said, "Sleep with me." But he refused, saying to his master's wife, "Look, because my master has me, he doesn't know what's going on in this house. He has put all his possessions in my charge. In this house I am his equal. He hasn't withheld anything from me except yourself, because you are his wife. How then could I do such a wicked thing and sin against Elohim?" But she kept pressing him day after day. Nevertheless, he didn't listen to her. He refused to sleep with her or even be with her. However, one day, when he went into the house to do his work, and none of the men living in the house was there indoors, she grabbed him by his robe and said, "Sleep with me." But he fled, leaving his robe in her hand, and got himself outside. When she saw that he had left his robe in her hand and had escaped, she called the men of her house and said to them, "Look at this. My husband brought in a Hebrew to make fools of us. He came in and wanted to sleep with me, but I yelled out loudly. When he heard me yelling it like that, he left his robe with me and ran out." She put the robe aside until his masters came home. Then she said to him, "This Hebrew slave you bought us came in to make a fool of me. But when I yelled out, he left his robe with me and fled outside." When his master heard what his wife said as she showed him, "Here's what your slave did to me," he became furious. Yosef's master took him and put him in prison, in the place where the king's prisoners were kept, and there he was in the prison. But Yehovah was with Yosef, showing him grace and giving him favor in the sight of his prison warden. The prison warden made Yosef supervisor of all the prisoners in the prison, so that whatever they did there, he was in charge of it. The prison warden paid no attention to anything Yosef did, because Yehovah was with him, and whatever he did, Yehovah prospered.
Sometime later, it came about that the Egyptians' king cupbearer and baker gave offence to their lord, the king of Egypt. Pharaoh became angry with his two officers of the chief cupbearer and the chief baker, so he put them in custody in the house of the captain of the guard, in the prison in the same place where Yosef was kept. The captain of the guard charged Yosef to be with them, and he became their attendant while they remained in prison. One night, the two of them, the king of Egypt's cupbearer and his baker, there in prison, both had dreams, each dream with its own meaning. Yosef came into them in the morning and saw that they looked sad. He asked Pharaoh's officers there with him in the prison of his master's house, "Why are you looking so sad today?" They said to him, "We each had a dream, and there's no one around who can interpret it." Yosef said to them, "Don't interpretations belong to Elohim? Tell it to me, please." Then the chief cupbearer told Yosef his dream. "In my dream, there in front of me was a vine, and the vine had three branches. The branches budded, then it suddenly began to blossom, and finally clusters of ripe grapes appeared. Pharaoh's cup was in my hand, so I took the grapes and pressed them into Pharaoh's cup, and gave the cup to Pharaoh." Yosef said to him, "Here is its interpretation. The three branches are 3 days. But remember for me when it goes well with you, and show me kindness, please." and mention me to Pharaoh, so that he will release me from this prison. For the truth is that I was kidnapped from the land of the Hebrews, and here too I have done nothing wrong that would justify putting me in this dungeon." When the chief baker saw that the interpretation was favourable, he said to Yosef, "I too saw in my dream there were three baskets of white bread on my head. In the uppermost basket there were all kinds of baked goods from Pharaoh, but the birds ate them out of the basket on my head." Yosef answered, "Here is its interpretation. The three baskets are 3 days. Within 3 days Pharaoh will lift up your head from off you. He will hang you on a tree, and the birds will eat your flesh off you."
On the third day, which was Pharaoh's birthday, he gave a party for all his officials, and he lifted up the head of the chief cupbearer and the head of the chief baker among his officials. He restored the chief cupbearer back to his position, so that he again gave Pharaoh his cup, but he hanged the chief baker as Yosef had interpreted to them. Nevertheless, the chief cupbearer didn't remember Yosef, but forgot him. Haftarah v'Yeshef, Amos 2:6-3:8. "Here is what Yehovah says, for Israel's three crimes, no four, I will not reverse it, because they sell the upright for silver, and the poor for a pair of shoes, grinding the heads of the poor in the dust, and pushing the lowly out of the way. Father and son sleep with the same girl, profaning my holy name, lying down beside any altar on clothes taken in pledge, drinking wine in the house of their Elohim, bought with fines they imposed. I destroyed the Amori before them, though tall as cedars and strong as oaks. I destroyed their fruit above and their root below. More than that, I brought you up from Egypt, led you 40 years in the desert, so that you could have the Amori's land. I raised up some of your sons to be prophets, other young men of yours to be Nitzarim, people of Israel. Isn't that true, asks Yehovah? But you gave the Nitzarim wine to drink, and ordered the prophets, 'Don't prophesy. Enough, I will make all this crush you, just as a cart overloaded with grain crushes what's under it. Even the swift won't be able to flee, and the strong won't be able to use their strength. The warriors won't save themselves. Archers won't be able to stand. The fastest runners won't save themselves. Those on horses won't save themselves. On that day even the bravest warriors will throw off their weapons and flee,' says Yehovah. Listen to this word which Yehovah has spoken against you, people of Israel, against the entire family that I brought up from the land of Egypt. Of all the families on earth, only you I have intimately known. This is why I will punish you for all your crimes. Do two people travel together without having so agreed? Does a lion roar in the forest when it has no prey? Does a young lion growl in his lair if he has caught nothing? Does a bird get caught in a trap on the ground if it hasn't been baited? Does a trap spring up from the ground when it has taken nothing? When the shofar is blown in the city, don't the people tremble? Can disaster befall a city without Yehovah's having done it? Yehovah Elohim does nothing without revealing his plan to his servants, the prophets. The lion has roared, who will not fear? Yehovah Elohim has spoken, who will not prophesy?"
Ketuvah HaShelekim Vayeshev, Acts 7:9-16. "Now the patriarchs grew jealous of Joseph and sold him into slavery in Egypt. But Yehovah was with him. He rescued him from all his troubles and gave him favor and wisdom before Pharaoh, king of Egypt, who appointed him chief administrator over Egypt and over all his household. Now there came a famine that caused much suffering throughout Egypt and Canaan. But when Yaakov heard that there was grain in Egypt, he sent our fathers there the first time. The second time, Yosef revealed his identity to his brothers, and Yosef's family became known to Pharaoh. Yosef then sent for his father Yaakov and all his relatives, 75 people. And Yaakov went down to Egypt. There he died, as did our fathers. And he was moved to Shechem and placed in a tomb which Abraham had bought with silver from the sons of Hamor.
Baruch atah Yehovah Eloheinu melech ha'olam asher natan lanu Torah emet v'chai olam b'tikenu. Baruch atah Yehovah neten ha'Torah b'shem Yeshua mashikenu ha'ola olam. Amen. Blessed are you, Yehovah Elohim, King of the Universe, who has given us the Torah of truth and planted everlasting life in our midst. Blessed are you, Yehovah, giver of the Torah, in the name of Yeshua, the light of the world. Amen. Right. Today, our parasha has shown how brother can go against brother. Can also show, also shows how Tamar had to work to get what she needed. Tamar means victorious spirit. And the Tamar in our reading is no different. She needed a victorious spirit to get through the deaths of two brothers and then to try and get the third brother. But to me there's a lot more to it. Because all through this parasha, it doesn't matter whether it was Tamar, it doesn't matter whether it was Yehuda, it doesn't matter whether it was Yosef. They all had Yah's spirit upon them. And it's that his spirit that I want to concentrate on today. Because it's his spirit that brings comfort to our life. I'm not named Tamar for no reason. Even my name Tamar means being victorious spirit. I've come through in my last 70 plus years a lot, and it speaks into my life as a victorious spirit. But that name also brings me comfort, knowing that Yah chose me to have that name, and it didn't matter what I go through in life, he is with me. And so what I want to concentrate on today is to how I can bring you into the divine presence of Yehovah to give you comfort in your circumstances, no matter what they are. Because it doesn't matter what we live in, nothing is perfect for everyone. And more people go through trials and tribulations than others. So I'm going to start with Acts chapter 7, verses 9 and 10, which I think you'll note that Malachi put in here. 9 and 10 are the most important verses that needed to be read in that parasha of this section. But when I'd written this, I didn't realise he'd had that in there. So if we go to 9 and 10, it says, "Now the patriarchs grew jealous of Yosef, and they sold him into slavery in Egypt. But Yehovah was with him. He rescued him from all his troubles and gave him favour and wisdom before Pharaoh, king of Egypt, who appointed him chief administrator over Egypt and over all of his household." And we read further that he, even though he was put in jail, he was still over everyone within the jail. This comfort that we get from Yehovah's divine presence comes in many forms. And I'm going to give you five of these today. And to me, five is Yah's number of grace. The fact that we are here today is a symbol of his grace. And as we are leading into the festival of Hanukkah, also known as the Feast of Dedication, I want to allow you to see how you can come into this festival not just to rededicate your lives to Yeshua, who is the light of the world, but also to bring you into the divine presence of his Father. And that was the sole reason he came on this earth. He came to bring the people back to Yehovah, because they were straying, just as they strayed in what we were reading today, and just as they are straying today. And Yeshua came on this earth. He became Yehovah manifested in the flesh to bring people back to the Father, back to himself. So to come into his presence daily brings comfort, no matter what our circumstances or situations in life. So the five forms of comfort that I'm going to discuss are: one, it is part of our pilgrimage of life. No matter what we do in our life, life is a pilgrimage. We travel from one part to another in our life. And if we stick close to Yah and his comfort, then it will be about, it will help us. His divine presence has to be in there. His divine presence will provide us with rest, no matter what we travel through in life. Yehovah's divine presence gives courage in life's battles. Is there anyone out there that hasn't had a battle? Don't think so. And the closer we get to him, and the more we attach ourselves, especially to Shabbat and Torah observance, those battles seem to rise up, because Hasatan doesn't want us there. And number four, his divine presence brings us comfort in trials. We all have trials. And that last one, but not least, his divine presence is assured to the smallest assembly of believers. It doesn't matter whether there's two of you meeting in your house today. It doesn't matter if there's one. Because where you are, and if you are in his presence, then he is with you. But we know that where the two or more are gathered, he is with us. So it doesn't matter how small the assembly is. It doesn't have to be large, like we're not even large, but it doesn't have to be like this. It can be someone sitting home, in their home at the moment, watching on live stream. Yehovah's presence can be with you. So one, it is part of our pilgrimage of life. Life is a pilgrimage in this world, as I said. We go from one journey to the next. If we are in Yehovah's divine presence, then the journey of life is much easier to bear. In Bereshit 28:15, Yehovah says, "Look, I am with you. I will guard you wherever you go. I will bring you back into this land, because I won't leave you until I have done what I have promised." Now, when Yehovah says it, he means it. And as Yosef's father was told, Yaakov, in Bereshit 31:3, when Yehovah said to Yaakov, "Return to the land of your ancestors, to your kinsmen, I will be with you." Yehovah continued to tell his people when he spoke to Moshe in Egypt, in Shemot Exodus chapter 3 and verse 12. He replied, "I will surely be with you. Your sign that I have sent you will be that when you have led the people out of Egypt, you will worship Elohim on this mountain." And Yehovah wants us to tabernacle with us. He wants us to tabernacle with him and live in his divine presence on a daily basis. How do I know this? Once again, his word tells me. We go to Exodus 29 and verse 45. "Then I will live with the people of Israel, I will be their Elohim, and that they will know that I am Yehovah their Elohim, who brought them out of the land of Egypt, in order to live with them. I am Yehovah their Elohim." That word applies to each and every one of us today. Because we too, if we're not born of Israel, we are grafted in. And therefore that word is applicable to us. And it doesn't matter what trials we go through, as long as we cling to his word, he will comfort us. This is what kingdom living is all about. We don't have to wait until the next life. We should be kingdom living now. As believers, we should live each day as if we are true heirs to the Father. Not servants, not slaves, heirs. Heirs to the Father. If we are the believers that we say we are, then we should live, act, breathe, and witness to others with the divine presence of Yehovah. This should be our comfort, knowing that we are in Him and He is in us. Regardless of our situation, we should start our day in His presence, giving all our cares, all our situations, anything that we're going to do that day completely over to Him, believing that He will do what He promised. His promises are true, yesterday, today, and forever. And we have to stand on those promises. We can always go to His word, and He will always reveal to us what He needs us to do each day. We can plan our day, but if we've committed it to Him each morning, it doesn't matter what happens, good or bad. It is Yehovah who has allowed that to happen. And He has allowed His plans to come to fruition, even though they weren't ours. He may change it for the better, or He even may change it to the worse, according to our thinking. But when we actually look back on the situation, as He does, we can see how His plan has worked out for our good. If we've committed that day to Him, we have to rest in the fact that Yehovah is in control. Otherwise, we're taking that control back. And that's what we do as adults. We take back control. But He wants us to come as little children. And if a child has a broken toy, and you've heard this one before, but I've spoken to you before. If a child has a broken toy, he asks the father to fix it. And he'll give the toy to the father. And he'll let go. And he'll wait. And he'll wait. Very patiently, because he's a child. Until the toy's fixed, because he wants his toy fixed. He doesn't want to go around with a broken one. And then when it's fixed, the father gives it back to him or her. But as adults, we're a little bit different. We tend to give things to the father, and then before he's had a chance to fix it, we grab it back from him and wonder why things aren't working the way we want them to. So we give it again and then snatch it back again, instead of being like that little child and waiting for the father to fix it. You see, it's part of our pilgrimage of life to be in his divine presence. But we have to wait for him. We have to wait for him to be in control and not take it back. So this brings me to point two. His divine presence provides rest. Yehovah promised Moshe in Shemot Exodus 33:14, "Set your mind at rest. My presence will go with you after all." Another word for rest is actually surrender. We have to let it go. We can't keep hanging on to it. But if we rest in him, we can surrender it all to him. You all know that old song, "I surrender all, I surrender all." How many times have we sung it? But they're never rested in him. We have to work out what we say. Peace or shalom, whatever you want to call it, is not having everything in life perfect. Shalom actually means being content in your circumstances. Now, there's some people in this room that live in horrific circumstances. Many of you would be gobsmacked to know how the situations that they go through in their daily life. But the point is that those people also have peace, because they know that Yehovah is in control. They're here in this room week after week after week with a smile on their face, and you would never know what they go through in their daily life. I know. I pray for them. I get emails from them all the time. Can be daily at times. But the point is that they have peace. They know that Yehovah is in control, and so they rest in him. They've surrendered all to him. So to have shalom means to be content in your circumstances, no matter what they are. And we can only receive this if we surrender everything to him daily. If you give him each day, as you start your morning prayers and you commit your day to him, and you ask him to have his kingdom purpose over your life and over your day, you can let it go, you can let it happen. But you've got to give it to him. It can't happen unless you do that. Hasatan always wants to attack the mind first. And he puts his doubts in within our circumstances. He'll put doubts in about our worth in our families, in our jobs, in society in general. And this is even more so when we're Torah observant believers. Because we've then got our old Christian friends telling us, hey, you're on the wrong road. You're going, you know, you're on the wrong road. You're on the wrong road. You're on the road to destruction. And then you start getting doubts. And things happen. But I'm sure there's no one here that hasn't felt more blessed after being on that Torah observant road than they were on the previous one. So Hasatan takes pleasure in robbing us of our joy. He doesn't want us to be content in our circumstances. He wants to rob us of that. And therefore he will prevent us, if he can, from resting in Yehovah. If we do not operate daily in his rest, then we are causing ourselves to become slaves to Hasatan. We're letting him win. We're letting him take control. Can we go to Vayikra 26 and verse 12, please? It says, "But I will walk among you and be your Elohim, and you will be my people. I am Yehovah your Elohim, who brought you out of the land of Egypt, so that you would not be their slaves. I have broken the bars of your yoke so that you can walk upright." Yehovah wants us to be a slave to no one, especially to Hasatan. We are servants to Yehovah, but slaves to no one. Even though we come under the grace of salvation through Yeshua HaMashiach, if we are not operating in kingdom living, we are still bound by the yoke of Hasatan. The yoke was broken by Yeshua on the stake. We have to walk in the promises of Yehovah's word and live in the kingdom now, not wait for our death to live in heaven with Yeshua. As believers, we will never die, because what lives is our mind, our will and our emotions, and the spirit that is within us, which is Yehovah. It's this flesh that we see, that we can feel, that we can touch. That's the only thing, which is just our tent that we're living in on this earth. It's no different to a tent. But the mind, the will and the emotions, the soul and the spirit live forever. When we get our spiritual bodies, we are completely different. Yah showed me very many years ago that our spiritual bodies are as big as our trust in the spirit that is within us. And I used to think, oh, well, I was going to be 8 foot tall because I'm only 4 foot on this earth. But then when I went to Israel, he showed me something different. When I went to Israel, I saw tamarim, the date palms. Date palms are called tamarim. A tamar is a date. Date palms, it's tamarim. They are 20 to 30 foot tall. They are straight. They are resilient. They can take drought, famine, wind, flood, you name it, and they'll always bounce back to being straight. When I got to Israel the second time I was there, and we were up in the Golan, and there were these amazing Etz Temarim, actually in a Druid's village. And Yehovah said to me, "That is how tall you will be. That is the spirit that is within you. That is how tall you will be." I don't get visual images. I don't dream. I don't get visual images. I can't see it. He has to show it to me literally for me to get things. I don't know what Yah gives you, but ask him yourself, how big is my spirit? What more do I have to do to get my spirit so tall that when I get to be with you, people are going to be looking up to me instead of looking up at them all the time? You see, it's the spirit that is within you. It's the trust that is within you that is important. It's this presence of life's battles that's going to bring you into a stage of realizing how big your spirit is. Because the more battles you get through, the stronger you become, and the larger your trust, and the larger your spirit will be. Which brings us to point three. The courage to live through life's battles. Yehovah's divine presence gives us that courage. Living in Yehovah's presence is like living in a bed of roses. And I mean that. The wonderful beauty is all around us. The sweet aroma that we never want to leave. But whilst moving through the roses, we get pricked, scratched, and even torn by many of the thorns of life. People who say life is a bed of roses don't usually understand what they're saying. But I believe life is a bed of roses. I actually love yellow roses. And I have one small yellow rose bush at home that I keep in a pot. And my youngest son actually gave it to me for Mother's Day many years ago. And because he knows I love yellow roses. And this year the roses have been prolific. But they've been in a way that I can have three coming, and by the time they've died off, the next lot are coming up, and the next lot are coming up. So my roses, I get one or two to three roses in my home virtually every day. And it's really amazing. And the perfume is delightful. Because produced in mass, therefore they've got the perfume where you can buy roses in the store and they've got, you know, from a florist, and they've got no perfume at all. They might look good, but they certainly don't last as long as mine, and they certainly haven't the perfume. But even when we go through tough times, we can smell the roses, even though the thorns hit us. Life is a battle. But Yehovah gives us the strength to fight the battle. And we can look at life as a battle being torn by thorns, or we can look at life smelling the roses, because it's the sweet aroma of Yehovah. He gave us that perfume, and we can look at it as what it's Him that we are smelling. It is Him, His creation, that we've got, and we can look at life in that way. We've got a choice of how we want to see our life. In Devarim 20 and verse 1, it says, "When you go out to fight your enemies and you see horses, chariots and a force larger than yours, you are not to be afraid of them, because Yehovah your Elohim, who brought you out of the land of Egypt, is with you." And this promise is still true today. I believe with what is happening in the world today, with ISIS and are cells that can be formed and explode anywhere in the world. And we know that they've been people just up the road here in Currabee and those places just in south of Brisbane that have got ISIS affiliations. That you never know what is around the corner. We don't know what battle we are going to be fighting. But Yehovah's promise is still true. That he brought his people out of the land of slavery. We're no longer in slavery, and he is with us. It doesn't matter what our circumstances are going to be in the future. That promise is true to this very day. And it will be true in the future to whatever we're going to go through. We might not be fighting people with horses and chariots, but we are fighting and will be fighting a force larger than ourselves. Hasatan and his host of demons. And they fight us from the left, from the right, from all sides. These forces can come from within our relationships in the home. They can come in our workplace. They can be in our finances or even our health. As long as we continue to stand on Yehovah's word, he will always be there for us. People of this world who have money and think they can buy their way out of any situation, or a successful businessman and women who, when they say jump, the people they employ say how high, are very difficult to convince that they need Yeshua in their lives. It is only by going through these trials of life that we are able to experience the presence of Yehovah and the comfort that he gives while we are in those trials. Which leads me to point four. That is, his divine presence brings comfort in trials, in Yeshayahu 43 and verse 2. Which tells us, when you pass through the water, I will be with you. When you pass through rivers, they will not overwhelm you. When you walk through fire, you will not be scorched. The flame will not burn you. For I am Yehovah your Elohim, the Holy One of Israel, your Saviour, or your Yeshua. We can only stay in his divine presence if we go to his word in times of trials. We will and should always have trials in our life. Yes, I meant that. We will and we should always have trials in our life. Why? I'm glad you asked. If Hasatan is not attacking us, then we must be operating in his domain because he leaves his own alone. But if we're working for Yehovah, Hasatan's going to attack us. There's no doubt about it. This comfort that we will have will come from Yehovah. So we must learn to expect trials, knowing full well that Yehovah will be with us in that trial and that he will bless us and he will be our comfort. Now this comfort can come through other believers or it can come through trials. And this is what a messianic community is all about. This is why we have community. Not separate little places, but a place we can come to in times of need. A place where we can be a comfort to others. Someone that you can contact in times of your need. And don't hesitate to do that. When we do not know where to turn, we have put it to prayer. And we still can't find a way out. Then we contact members within this community. They may have been given a word for you or an answer that you least expected. Other believers who are not in the situation are not emotionally involved and can therefore get deeper into the divine presence of Yehovah for your situation for you. So community is really important. Now, we have an awesome ministry team that's willing to pray for you, with you and for you, if you allow them to help you know your needs, if you allow them to know your needs and allow them to help you. We can't know or pray for every situation if we're not informed. So the men, please contact the men. Women, contact the women. And we've got, and I prefer that to happen. I prefer men to pray with men, women to pray with women. And whatever the ministry team does, it's completely confidential. And I'm going to ask a favour. Can I get the ministry team to stand now, please? So Davina, Rachel, the guys up the back, the two guys are standing, Luke, Yarek. Okay, and we've got Mark in with the children. Okay, now Minister Sean's not here today, but everyone has different gifts, and it's important. Yarek is awesome with the Polish people of our community, and that's his ministry with the Polish people. He's also an evangelist. And each and every one of us has different gifts. And you'll find that... thanks, guys. You can sit down. You'll find that Minister Malachi and Mark, who runs helps with running the children's ministry, have put together a new website this week. And you'll find in the new website, we'll probably show it to you later if we can, all of the phone numbers of all the ministry team. And we haven't finished putting it together. We'll get photographs of them and everything like that and put it together within the next couple of weeks for you. But I want you to go to them. Don't be afraid, because what you say is completely confidential. You know, I always say what is said here stays here. You know, what is said in this room when I'm counselling or whatever, it stays in this room. I don't even share it with Malachi. And I'm, you know, expect the other ministry teams are the same. That if we don't know what your needs are, we can't pray for them. But I'm sure there are people here that can stand up and testify how by releasing their information and us being able to pray for them has helped them through situations. So I want you to trust them, because it's really important. But I do emphasise, please, same sex if you can. If I have to counsel a male of any kind at any time, I always have Malachi with me. I don't do it by myself. And I have had to do that at times. So praise Yah, because it's hard to go through trials, but praise him while we're going through them, because it's often the last thing you want to do, but is usually the best thing to get yourself into his kingdom presence. And how can we praise him? Put on a praise tape. Start, you know, mightn't feel like singing, but you can. Zacharias says in chapter 2 and verse 10, "Sing, daughter of Zion, rejoice, for here I am coming, and I will live among you, says Jehovah." It doesn't matter what the situation, learn to sing through it. Put on a praise tape, CD, whatever, when you're feeling low. You may not be able to sing to it straight away, but just listen. Just rest in the presence, and before long you'll be able to help, won't be able to help yourself. You'll start humming away, you'll start praising, or you'll start worshipping. But just listen to it, rest in it, just put your feet up, close your eyes and listen. And let whatever's going on in your mind and whatever's happening in the situation get right away from you. And you'll find that it will disappear. Whilst there is life, we can praise Yah and thank him for his mercies every single day. It's just practicing for when we get to be with him. That's all it is. It's what's when we get to be in a life to come. I see that as being in his presence, praising him 24/7. Time will stand still, and I'll not be able to get enough of his presence. But if I practice here in my trials, I won't have those trials later on. Mishlei or Proverbs 17:22 says, "A happy heart is good medicine, but low spirits saps one's strength." With a happy heart, you'll be able to smell the roses instead of concentrating on the thorns that are surrounding you, which brings me to my final point. Yehovah's divine presence is assured to the smallest community of believers. We were told by Yeshua in Matthew 28:19, "Therefore go and make from all nations into Talmudim, immersing them into the reality of the Father, the Son, and the Ruach HaKodesh, and teaching them to obey everything that I have commanded you. And remember, I will be with you always, yes, even until the end of the age." Now, I want to clarify two things in that scripture. Maybe I should read it again, because I'm sure you've heard it something differently. Maybe you've heard it like this: "Therefore go and make people from all nations into Talmudim, immersing them into the name of the Father, the Son, and the Ruach HaKodesh." In most Bibles, that's what it says, in the name. But in the Hebrew, it says into the reality. The reality of the Father, the Son, and the Ruach HaKodesh are two totally different things to the name. We are told into the reality of him. How do we know the reality of the Father, Yeshua, and the Ruach HaKodesh? By being in his presence, by having his divine presence living within us. And then Yeshua says, "I will be with you always, yes, until the end of the age." How many people thought that was the end of the world? Till the end of time? Till the end of whatever? He doesn't say what age. There's more than one age. Okay? There's many more than one age. There was the age before the flood. Was the age up until the end of the systems of Moshe, of the Levitical priesthood system. Today you might say we're living in the rabbinical system, or the rabbinical age. But we're also living in the messianic age. So we don't know what the age is until the end of the age. There can be more than one age. And Yehovah can let us, he will be with us no matter what age it is. And Yeshua says, "I will be with you until the end of the age." It doesn't matter what age we are in, he will be with us until that end. We are also told when two or more are gathered together in agreement with Yeshua, he is with us. Now, we are a small congregation compared to a lot of churches that maybe many of you have come out of. But Yehovah knows our hearts. And that is why every Shabbat, the Ruach HaKodesh always turns up, and the divine presence is not only evident, but powerful in healing situations of all kinds. Yehovah knows our hearts. If it were only Malachi and myself, we would continue to do what we're doing this very day if none of you were here. Because the two of us are together, Yeshua is with us, we would still keep going. Because the divine presence would be with us. It might not be, if we stopped, it may no longer be evident in our lives. But we won't stop. We have no intentions of stopping. I don't ever want to be out of his presence. Yeshua says, "And remember, I will be with you always." Always. Always. I will be with you always, even until the end of the age. What is that? I don't know when the end of the age is, but I do know that he will not give in. Yeshua did not say, "I will not die for their sins." He gave his life for me, and he gave it for you. The least we can do is to desire to be in his divine presence to the very end of this age, whatever it might be. I do not know what you would call this age. But, as I said, as long as we are in Yeshua, we're in his age. We've been in his age since Yeshua was crucified, and the world as we know it is not the same as it was 15 years ago, or 16 years ago when we started Beit Gan Eden. The age of Islam is rising. Different age. Is this the end of the age? And the age of Islam starting up? I don't know. Is it the age that is to come, or as many are expecting, the return of Yeshua in our lifetime? Will we see him returning on Yerushalayim in the clouds to stop the carnage of Hasatan that's being perpetrated against the world and all believers at this present time? You know, it doesn't matter what Islam and ISIS want to do. They want to kill off every non-follower of Islam. Every infidel. Is that what we're moving into? Is that a new age? If we're in his presence, it doesn't matter what happens in the future. The world situation as is today, I would count it an honour and a privilege to be able to continue in his in Yeshua's presence until he returns. To me, it's an awesome experience to be part of Torah observant believers, to live and to reign with him and never face death. But to live with him literally is what my desire is. And I'm sure it's yours too. We can only do that if we seek Yehovah's divine presence daily. If we commit everything to him, surrender it all to him. Start the day with him. Make an appointment with him each morning. And don't forget to make one at night as well. If you start the day with that much, you'll find that his presence will be evident with you throughout the whole day. You'll be given revelations of his promises so much more, and you'll never want to be out of his presence. I can't start my day without him. It's the first thing I do. Malachi's often up before I am. He's already read his word by the time I wake up. But the first thing I do is get up, sit up and put my computer on my lap. Malachi brings me in my cup of coffee. And then I get into the word. That's how I start my day. It doesn't matter where I am. It's only a couple of times in my life I haven't done it, and I've been unconscious. But apart from that, I've done it. I'm literally speaking that. I've been in hospital unconscious. So, apart from that, that's the first thing I do every day. And I believe that if we can start and commit each day to him, regardless of our circumstances, regardless of our situation, regardless of what happens in life, we can cope with that day. Because he doesn't give us more than we can bear. Sometimes we think it is more than we can bear. But when we look back, you see, Yehovah sees the end product. We can look back. Sorry, Yehovah sees the future product, what's happening in the future, which is the end product. But we can only look back at what's happened. So he knows what it's like long before it's happened. He knows every minute of our life. He knows every day that's been planned. We just need to go to Psalm 139. And he tells us that. So if we realize what we're going through in this day is part of Yehovah's plan for us, it's part of being able to grow and be know more of him and be able to be in his presence more. Maybe that's why he gives us those trials, so we can seek him. Because if everything's honky-dory, we don't seek him. As I said, the people that have got everything don't want to know about him. But the more we seek him, the more we will find him. and the more he will be there for us. So let us now go to the remembrance service to thank him for all that he has done for us, especially in this past week. Hear, the days are coming, says Yehovah, when I will make a renewed covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Yehuda. It will not be like the covenant I made with their fathers on the day I took them by their hand and brought them out of the land of Egypt, because they for their part violated my covenant, even though I for my part was a husband to them, says Yehovah. For this is the covenant I will make with the house of Israel after those days, says Yehovah. I will put my Torah within them and write it on their hearts. I will be their Elohim, and they will be my people. See, Elohim is my salvation. I am confident and unafraid, for Yah Yehovah is my strength and my song, and he has become my salvation.
Then you will joyfully draw water from the springs of salvation. Victory comes from Yehovah. May your blessing rest on your people. Yehovah Sabaoth is with us, our fortress, the Elohim of Yaakov.
Baruch atah Yehovah, Eloheinu melech ha'olam, hamotzei lachem min ha'aretz. Amen.
Blessed are you, Yehovah, our Elohim, King of the universe, who has brought forth bread from the earth. Yehovah Sabaoth, how happy is anyone who trusts in you. Give thanks to you, Yehovah. Let the king answer us for the day we call. I will take the cup of redemption and call upon the name of Yehovah.
The cup of deliverance I raise in the name of Yeshua HaMashiach, I call Baruch atah Yehovah Eloheinu melech ha'olam, borei pri hagafen.
Blessed are you, Yehovah, King of the universe, who creates the tomorrow.
Baruch atah Yehovah Eloheinu melech ha'olam, borei mini besamim.
Blessed are you, Yehovah, King of the universe, who creates the responses.
Now time to thank Yah in our hearts and give unto his kingdom. And we follow the example of Avram when he met Melchizedek. And we read this in Bereshit in the first book of the Torah, where it says, Melchizedek, king of Shalem, brought out bread and wine. He was a Kohen of El Elyon, Yehovah Zevaot, the Most High God. So he blessed him with these words, Blessed be Avram by El Elyon, maker of heaven and earth, and blessed be El Elyon, who handed over your enemies to you. So Avraham gave him a tenth of everything. So please, take out your offerings and give unto Yehovah's ministry. And some bread. You can add some salt to it, because you are the salt of the earth. Smell the spices, which will leave a pleasant aroma for you to leave here with today. Take a cup, and we'll eat and drink together. So please come forward.
My God and King, my God and King, your love makes all of heaven sing. My God and King, your mercy is forevermore. My God and King, Hashem, be magnified. Your love gives life, my God and King, to all who sanctify your name. Your love gives life to all who bow before your throne. Your love gives life, Hashem, be magnified. I rest before your throne of grace, in that repaid so special place, a land of utter holiness, the new Jerusalem, the new Jerusalem. I see the mountain top ablaze, I see your love. I hear the shofar sing its song. Holy Jerusalem, holy Jerusalem. my God and King, your love makes all of heaven sing. My God and King, your mercy is forevermore. My God and King, be magnified. Thank you.
he sought me, weary, weak from sin, and on his shoulders brought me back to his fold again. While angels in his presence sang, until the courts of heaven rang, and oh, the love that sought me, and oh, the blood that bought me, and oh, the grace that brought me to the fold. Wondrous grace that brought me home. He washed the bleeding sin wounds, he poured in oil and wine, he whispered to assure me, child, I found thee, thou art mine. I never heard a sweeter voice, it made my aching heart rejoice. And and all the blood that bought me, and all the grace that brought me to the fold, wondrous grace that brought me home. He pointed to the nail prints, for me his blood was shed, a mocking crown so thorny was placed upon his head. I wondered what he saw in me to suffer such deep agony. And oh, the love that sought me, and oh, the blood that bought me, and oh, the grace that brought me the fall, wondrous grace that brought me home. I'm sitting in his presence, the sunshine of his face, while with adoring wonder his blessings I retrace. It seems as if eternal days are far too short to sing his praise. Oh, the love that sought me, and oh, the blood that bought me, and oh, the grace that brought me to the fold, wondrous grace that brought me home. So while the hours are passing by, and all is perfect rest, I'm waiting for the morning, the brightest and the best, when he will call us to his side, to be with him, his spotless bride. And oh, the love that sought me, and oh, the blood. Wondrous grace that brought me home, and all the love that sought me, and all the blood that bought me, and all the grace that brought me to the fold, wondrous grace that brought me home.
Thank you. Shall I? his shepherd's son to find a people on the run and change the name from Lonnie to the children of the one who set them free from all their sins and all the bondage of their past. Free to know their heritage and return to him at last. Ephraim, beloved son, it's time for you to turn your face and come back to your father's house.
Abba Father, we thank you and praise you for your son Yeshua. We thank you that you sent him, you in the flesh, down on this earth to bring us to you. We thank you, Yeshua, that you laid down your life for us so that you could send the Ruach HaKodesh to dwell with us and that we could be in your divine presence all of the time. We give you the glory and we take these emblems in remembrance of what you have done, so that no matter what our trials, no matter what our tribulations on this earth might be, they could never amount to anything that you went through. But we know that you will never leave us or forsake us. We know that these emblems represent your presence with us at all times, as long as we tap into you. We take these emblems now as we're getting close to Hanukkah and rededicating our lives to you. As we take these today, we rededicate our lives afresh and ready for Hanukkah, the Festival of Lights, the Feast of Dedication, knowing at this time that your divine presence is just more important than at any time in the last 15 or 16 years. We give you the glory, the honour and the praise for laying down your life for us, and we take these emblems now in remembrance of you. In Yeshua's name I pray. Amen.
Brother Judah, we will live his holy law. We will worship you, you set us free. You found us in the wilderness, and you caused our eyes to see that you are searching and drawing and calling your own. And with the east wind has blown,
Minister Malachi is now going to come and do the Aharonic blessing in Hebrew, and I'll repeat it in English.
Yevrakakah, Yehovah Yishmerekah, Yeh Yehovah Panavaleka Vyekuneka, Yisah Yehovah Panavaleka Vyasam Lekah Shalom.
May Yehovah bless you and keep you. May Yehovah make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. May Yehovah lift up his face towards you and give you peace. Amen.
Amen.
Our Abba and Elohim of our fathers, we thank you for the joy and rest this Shabbat day is bringing. May the coming week bring gladness and peace, health and achievement. And like the fragrance of the Besamim, we pray the days ahead bring sweetness to our lives and the lives of our loved ones. May the peace which we are enjoying this day linger until we gather for Shabbat next week. We ask it in Yeshua's name. Amen.
Amen.
Well, Tamar put together another wonderful message. Wasn't that spot on? And actually, Tana was saying that their group last night were discussing that particular issue. So it's always nice when there's another group that's then comes together and we get a report like that, that it's straight from the word of, straight from the Holy Spirit, the inspiration for the work. So that was really good. And some of the little things that just excuse me a sec. Michelle, this goes back from okay. Let me see. I discovered something with regard to the phones, and that was doing selfies. And I find if I hold the phone like that and take a selfie of it, it's sort of, it's okay. But and what I did, I just inverted the phone so that the camera was down, and it somehow or other the eyes are then no longer looking down, they're sort of looking up, and it actually looks better. So
he's saying if you make him want a selfie, turn your phone upside down.
Upside down, you can always have a look. It's just like a mirror, but it works better. And of course, it doesn't appear inverted.
I don't know how many people make selfies here, honey, but still.
Someone might. Well, we're expecting to get a selfie from all of the people in the congregation. Oh, well, not necessarily the people in the congregation, that'd be nice. But certainly all the ministry team will have selfies, and then we'll get them up onto the actual website, and we'll be able to use that. That little analogy that Tamar used with regard to the broken toy and the child gives it back to the father, now as distinct from the adult response, which is to sort of take it back. Children, as children, have got enough sense to know that dad's the only one that can actually fix it. And I'm reminded that we're told to pray without ceasing. And have you noticed that the child will keep reminding the father that we're really looking forward to getting that thing fixed as soon as you can. You know, when you're ready, that'd be really good, and oh, you're wonderful. So that constant reminder is what children do, and they do naturally what we're not inclined to do as adults. So anyway, I just thought I'd share that little one with you. Let me see, what else do I have here? Oh, the tents. You're describing how this is a tent. And I was thinking, if our tent is not well anchored, when there's any sort of a strong wind, let alone a storm coming, what do? They get in a flap. So, yeah, you wrote that one. So we're more like tents than we realised. And what else did I have here? Are you going to mention with regard to Hanukkah?
You can do that.
Okay. Our gathering together, I was actually looking for a photograph of it, but I wasn't able to find one. But Sean's got this really fabulous Hanukkah set up in his, like, it's a huge thing. And that's in his backyard. And he's, as a regular thing, we put on for the congregation and any suitable friends to bring along. I'm saying suitable because you don't want someone that's going to rock up with a ham and pineapple pizza to share with everybody else. But that's fine. And that'll be on
Sunday week.
Okay, not tomorrow, but next
Sunday week.
Week
we'll be having our Hanukkah celebration at Minister Sean's. We'll have all that information in the newsletter next week.
That'll be in the newsletter.
Thursday, there's Hanukkah in the Park, though.
Right.
At Hanukkah in the Park on Thursday, which is in the park underneath the on top of the car park in Service Paradise, run by the Hebrew congregation.
They have various events.
Friday night.
Okay, I'll let you sort
today,
that one out.
Okay, today is the 19th. So it's the 25th is next Friday.
The simple way of doing it is that whatever it's got in the Hebrew calendar, it's 2 days later, because they're not using the moon, they're using their calculator.
Today's the 19th. Today's the 19th day of the biblical month.
2 days.
I'm sorry. Today's the 19th day of the biblical month. So on Friday is the 25th of Kislev.
You'll notice so Kislev's 2 days ahead of our date. If you have it at the front of your newsletter, it'll all make sense.
But so because we go by the sighted moon, not by the conjunction, ours will be 2 days later. So the Hebrew calendar, the Hebrew community, the Jewish community, are holding theirs on Thursday night. They're having their Hanukkah celebrations. We will light our first candle on Friday night. Okay, so even if you go Thursday night, you don't have to worry about missing lighting your candle because it's not till Friday night anyway. And they'll be lighting their second candle because they light it on the night before anyway. No, Friday's first day. Why do you want to light it on the night before? It's not that day. It's not day. We won't go there. Not now. No, we won't go there at the moment. We're on live.
And, okay, so Sean's place is, with regard to the location of that car park the park that's on top of the car park, it's connected to the transit centre in the middle of Surfers Paradise, where all the buses and everything used to go. They used to have that big white wheel that would rotate there. I think the transit centre is still there, unless they've already torn it down. So, and that's right in the heart of Surfers. It's on the main highway, so if you were driving through Surfers Paradise, heading, for example, south, after you go through the low area and cross what's called Bridge Street, on the way up as you're rising, the transit centre's on the left. There's a car park, multi-level car park with vegetation and stuff growing along on the sort of in pot plants along it, and there's an entry ramp at that point, and you can get into the same entry ramp if you're coming in the opposite direction. It's as soon as you cross Clifford Street heading north, you just get to the right-hand side of the road, and there is a right turn opportunity there. So it's between Clifford and Beach Street. That's where that's located in Surfers Paradise. And we usually get
5:30 along. 5:30 it starts. It starts at 5:30. So you not put it in there?
The other thing I wanted to mention too, or there's a couple of things, or with regard to baptising in the name, there's the baptism in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Spirit. And you say, okay, well, what is the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit? And they don't know. They just don't know.
They don't know what the name is.
Sort of pass it off saying, well, the name is the authority, but that still hasn't got a name. And there is a name. It's in the scriptures of various pronunciations, but nevertheless, the name is there. And they don't know it. Unfortunately, though, I think that's a tragedy because Yahweh did so much that his name would be known throughout the whole world. And there's a tradition that says, we'll keep it a secret. That doesn't make sense to me. Now, we've got probably a lot of you already know, but if you don't know, we've got a new website up. And
we're going to put on screen.
So what we can do, because we've managed to get it going, I think Mark will be able to bring it up. Now, really, Mark made a huge effort in discovering what was the best way of doing it. What were the best servers and who to get it. You can even see Yarrick here. Sort of, there you go, Yarrick. You were there. and as part of our ministry team, Yarrick is a natural evangelist, and he's also ministering particularly to the Polish community, and we're just delighted in the work that he's doing in that area.
Now that map is live.
There's a map. Yeah, if you can see all that, you can zoom in or out of the map where our location is, and you can zoom in, back out. Now, yeah, that's good. And then up the top, you've got all the various, at this level, you've got all the various things you can go to. And I always used to put on the downloads. We've got the downloads for both the audio files, which we do and upload. And what I'm going to do as far as the audios is concerned is that I'll leave the sequential audio so you can go back to a message. It's not only, no longer have you got 7 days to catch it. The same thing also applies to the that's where the downloads, and this is actually the newsletters going back through to the beginning of this reading cycle. So any of the articles, any of the links and things in the newsletters that you want to check out, because there's a few people have been inquiring about earlier newsletters, Now they're all on our website, and that's just to download the
and
PDF,
they're live
PDF
when you
file.
Open up them. So there's a website. So if there's a web link there, it'll come up live.
Yeah.
And the same will apply to the messages.
Let me see. I can't even read what I'm looking at.
Okay, go to children's.
Okay. Let's do the children's ministry site because that is just beautifully put together, and with scenes of what's going on. Because hardly any of us ever see what's going on in the room, but that's just some shots of the different things. And of course, Davina and Mark put together a newsletter every week, and that's the current week's newsletter. Explains what they've been teaching, what they will be teaching, all of that sort of thing. So
now, people that don't have parents, people that don't have children have got no idea. So can we open that up so they can see what this sort of a new children newsletter looks like?
Okay, clicking on a link, it'll start loading it down. What it's got to do is pull down the newsletter and then crank up another program to display it.
And this goes out every week. What they've been taught and what they're doing, and that's really great, isn't it? They do a great job.
Okay,
thanks, guys.
And the other thing you want, is there any other components of that? Oh, yeah, okay.
It's just the ministry team, but we haven't got that finished yet.
Oh, yeah, drop down the ministry team, that's fine. Where is that? Now we're on. Okay, so this is where we want the selfies. Put the selfie photographs along with each one, so you know who it is that you're making contact with. And they've all got their name at bgmc.org as the. So it's nice and simple for making contact. And what else have we got? Oh, our contact. Okay, if anyone wants to actually get a message through to us, making contact with us with this provision there. Pop in their email address and their phone number if they've got it. I think we put that there, did we?
Yep.
And their name and that sort of thing, and put in some text. So that will come through for us. And we've got. And any time on any of those pages, if you just click the logo up the top in the middle, that takes you back to the home page. We right? No, you got something else? What are you showing me? Oh, okay. On the top right-hand corner, there's a search box. That will search through all of the documents that are actually listed on the website or any of the words. You could do a... What did you got there? Torah? Okay. Did a search on Torah. These are where Torah appears anywhere in the website, making mention of that particular word. That's good. Oh, looks like anywhere up on that top area will get us back to the home page, so that's excellent. Now, who noticed that there when we had our... Anything else, Mark? Have I got it? That's it? Okay, and we'll show the thing. Oh, live yes, stream. Okay, that's a good idea. We'll go back to that so that if you click on down on the lower right-hand side with a black... At this height across, you've got watch the services here or something like that, whatever it says, I've forgotten. And there's a donate button, which is always, that helps run the service. Now click on that one, and that brings us through to the live stream. So can we just scroll down a bit? So there's all the videos of the previous services going right back to the beginning of the Torah readings last year, including, there was the... Yom Teruah was there, finance conference that we went to. And then if we go back up to the live one, there's some possibility if you click on that, it might actually happen. We'll see how that behaves. Seems to be. Yeah, it's working on it. Might have to scroll out of there. Anyway, we'll keep looking. Hasn't done it yet. Anyway, that's an old computer that's running on and it's struggling with the connection, but it will eventually come up.
Here it comes.
Ah, there's the chat, various comments that can be made during the services for people that actually register. If you register your name with Livestream, then you can put information into the chat box. If you're not registered, I suppose you can see it, but I'm not sure. But it's free to get registered. It's no big deal. But, yes. Yeah, okay, so put a hand in there and it'll all sort of... That would eventually happen. But that live stream is 18 seconds behind the actual live broadcast. And...
okay, yes, that'll do.
So it's looking back at itself and back at itself and all that sort of thing. Now, the we've got... If you pull that one up, there's two things I want to show you. I suppose I'll go back to that first. Hang on. Okay. You want to pull that one in? I'll aim it at the camera and then it'll get big enough to see. So quite automatically, if you go onto the website with your phone, it knows that you're using a phone and it will give you a display on screen that is appropriate for the phone. Now, just there is a little triple bar. Yeah, I think you can see it. How am I doing?
It's colder still.
I'm in the right direction.
I think
okay,
it's up
just
high,
in
honey.
There, just about there somewhere. If that did it, I'll just do it on the phone. Okay. When you touch that little triple bar, then you get this listing all the way down the side here.
You need to shift your phone around because you can't see that.
I'm aiming it at the camera.
No, well...
No, that's where the people are. That's not the camera.
See?
There.
No, you just lost it again.
Hang on, I'll just put it in the middle. Okay, so there are they're the various pages. So instead of those little buttons across the top on the main website, you've got that comes in and... Sorry, instead of the buttons across the top on the main website, you've got that little drop-down list on the side there, and that takes you into those same areas.
So
this is for people that have got a phone that will do this sort of stuff and they didn't know how to do it or what to do when they got there. So a bit of information there. Now, the other thing, that'll do on that one, but just stay with me for a moment. I've got a photograph I want to show people. Because one of the things, they had these amazing palm trees, or tamars.
Palm trees.
Yes.
Literal.
If you get too quick, it'll muddle me up. Harry, settle down. The palm trees that she was talking about give you a sort of a visual image. They're like power poles. You know, they're huge. And then the ones in Tel Aviv, they were just dropping grapes.
No, dates.
Dates. Nearly got it. Grapes is the next subject. So, and there's a photograph. Oh, no, I haven't got to it yet. Okay, so what we did is that with regard to our Yeshua Remembrance Service and our toasting, we've been using for years Lloyd's Organic Grape Juice. And it became more and more difficult to get, and now it is absolutely unprocurable. We can't get it. I've even tried ringing them, and I just got nowhere. Now, when we were in... So we're looking for something else. The last week we had that sickly berry grape juice, which was sort of like that was a fail. And then there was another grape juice that's put out that's imported from the United States, and it's like about $25 a bottle. And we had a taste of that this morning, and Tamar got...
Metal.
A metallic taste in her mouth. I would describe it. It's this really... Well, it might be organic, it might be pure, but unfortunately the grapes were not ripe. And if the grape's not ripe, you know how it sets the teeth on it? So it was that sort of taste. And so we thought, no, we're not going to do that.
It stayed in your mouth.
Fortunately, Arthur suggested to us pomegranate juice, and we could check that one out. So that's actually what we have. And the pomegranate sits quite well with me, but when we were in Israel, okay, let's have a look at that. The pomegranates there are like almost the size of watermelon. Not watermelons, cantaloupe type thing,
yep.
Rock melon, that sort of thing. And that was a scene just taken in a market store where they set up these things and fresh pomegranate juice. It's not my favourite juice, but it's pretty close to, you know, true. Because it's, I don't know if it's a native over there, but
it is.
They grow huge. So our grapes are just unprocurable at the moment, so unless there's some serious objection, I don't think we can get any better at the moment unless we went to Apple or... And that'd be sickly. And anyway, so we were on the pomegranate juice, and that's what you were drinking today. And
it'd be nice, but some people have an allergy to it, so we wouldn't allow that to happen.
Yes, so we were going to bring the other grape juice as well, just to let you have an option. But it really wasn't nice.
Suggested red wine. Okay. I said, but some people have allergies.
Suggested red wine. Yeah, well, that we could go that way too. But that, then you're getting back up into... I mean, it costs quite a bit to run these services. we start spending $25 or $20 a
bottle. Yeah.
What was this?
Might need a license.
We might need a license. Yes, self-serve. We get a reputation for self-serve wine in the place. It might anyway. Sort of lower the tone a bit. Okay, well, all good. I don't think there's anything else. Let me just have a quick look here. Name, Hanukkah, juice, no. Phone, verse. Okay, that's it. Shavuotov. Bless you
have
all.
Have an awesome week. Now, Thursday, for anyone who can come, Thursday night in the park, if it's fine, and then Shabbat here, and then the following Sunday will be at Sean's. At 6 o'clock, but we'll have all that information in the newsletter for you next week. So, which one? Sean's.
It's the
21st of December.
Okay.
21st of December at Sean's.
Tomorrow week. That's correct.
That's right.
And I think okay. We're just about it.
That's it. Shmooze time.
Shavuot Tov. Coffee and tea.
Bless you all online.
Bless you all.
Shalom, shalom.
blessing of Shalom. Shalom, 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 sha, 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 shalom.
Shabbat, Shabbat Shabbat.